Man, we just love your pastors. You guys love your pastors or what? Like, you clap a little better than that. Come on. I'm serious. I love Pastor Clint, Melanie, and their two precious little girls, and their hyper little doggy. And let me tell you something. I love your pastors. You know, a few months ago, I guess maybe almost a year ago, Haley and I were in West Monroe, Louisiana with her family, kind of close to Duck Dynasty, you know. And so we went to the hospital, and we got on the elevator, our whole family. So it's an act of Congress to get everybody on the elevator. And, you know, you don't want anybody to get shut in the door. And so, you know, I think Haley's sister had her little young baby at the time. So then we got, you know, the whole carriage system going on. It's a first child, so that means you got the baby in the little, what do you call that thing you hold a baby with? Carrier, whatever, car seat. And then, I was a great father. And then you have the diaper bag. It's all embroidered. So we got this whole thing. I mean, and we get on the elevator, and everybody's talking, and we're having a lot of fun, and we're just being really loud because that's what people in Louisiana do. Okay, and then so the elevator door closes. We're just talking. We're having a great time. And then the elevator door opens back up. And so we get back off the elevator, and we start to walk. And we realize, like, we're on the same floor that we never pushed the button. We just got on the elevator. You ever done that? You just got on the elevator. You're hanging out. You're having a good time. But you're going nowhere. And we realized we had nobody in our family that would be willing to push the button. Let me tell you something. You've got pastors that are willing to say, come on for a ride. We'll take this church. We'll pastor this church. We'll love this church. We'll love these people. We'll love this city. And we'll push the buttons to help you to go to the next level in your life, whatever that is. And that's what I love about having people in your life that know the button they can push to help you to go from where you are to where God wants you to be. And that's what I love about your pastor. So I could stop there and we could just end the message this morning, but I better not. But I do, man, I'm telling you, I just love Clint. I love him. You're right. We don't talk as much as Haley and Melanie do. They like structure it, and it's all perfect, and it's weekly, and we do moments throughout the day and texting. It's a lot of fun. And my wife is here, and let me tell you something. She is the love of my life. This December we'll be married 13 years, and she's like lipping to me. Like to help me. I appreciate that, baby. And we have two kids, Maggie and Hutch. Maggie is 11 years old. When she was 4 months old, Haley and I left her with my mom, and we went on a cruise to Cozumel, and we brought back a souvenir. His name's Hutch, and he is 10, and we've been paying for that ever since. And it's just a joy. Now we just invest in goldfish. And so, but anyway, we just are honored to be here with you guys. We've heard a lot about you. We've heard a lot about this church. We talk about, me and Pastor Clint talk about you all the time, and talk about the student ministry, talk about all the things that God's doing, and all the renovations that are happening around here, and the foyer you walk in, it's just excellent. Can I just brag on you for a minute? I mean, we're going to jump into the word real quick, but I walked around this facility. This place is just excellent. I feel like this honors God, this facility, the people, some of the friendliest people, just hugging and talking. They lied to me, though. One lady, I forgot her name. She said she was in her 70s, and she looked like she was 25. I was like, you lying. What's her name? Miss Eddie. Lying in church. She's like 25. I'm 70-something. Uh-uh. Y'all are so much fun. You hear yourselves laughing. Isn't that fun to laugh in church? Man, Haley and I travel through Relate. We visit a lot of churches, and a lot of churches just aren't laughing anymore. Just not as fun. This place, it's got the right culture. It's just so much fun in here. Okay, let's jump into the Word. So Luke chapter 19. Help me out. Luke chapter 19. You're in a series right now. You asked for it. And so I get to talk about the easy subject of what's my purpose in life. How do I figure out what I was created for? And that's pretty easy, right, to just tell everybody that. Well, the truth is we all have a different fingerprint, right, a thumbprint. And so everybody has something unique about yourself that God has created you to do. There was an assignment. God needed somebody, and he created you to do that something. But there's something in general that we all have the same type of purpose for, and I'm going to talk about that this morning. And I would basically entitle this message this morning, The Spot. So we're going to talk about The Spot. So in Luke chapter 19, Verse 1, it says this: Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. And he wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and he climbed up a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. Verse 5 says, and when Jesus reached the spot, everybody say the spot. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and he said to him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. Let's pray real quick. Father, thank you. Thank you for this church that I believe puts a smile on your face. Thank you for all the greeters, all the dream teamers that have made it possible for us to come into your house, and all the worship team that would make it possible for us to just get into your presence. And God, we just thank you for your word. God, just change us today. Let us just learn one thing that we can walk away from this morning and forever be changed. In Jesus' name, everybody said amen. Amen. I want to tell you about a spot in my life, and it changed my life forever, okay? I was actually adopted. I was born in Pennsylvania, Louisiana, but I was raised in Pennsylvania, Louisiana. That didn't make a lick of sense. I was born in Pennsylvania, raised in Louisiana, okay? I do love to eat crawfish. Anything that grows in a ditch, I love to eat it, okay? It's just amazing, right? And so, yes. And so, my biological mother, she had 9 children. So I have nine siblings. Okay, so 10 kids, 9 siblings, and only had one from the same dad. So my biological mother actually works the streets in Philly to get her fix. Okay, and my biological father is serving 35 to life in prison for murder because he killed his best friend on a drug deal gone bad. I come from good genes. Don't tick me off this morning, right? I'm just kidding, but I'm serious. So I have this really interesting rough story as a background. Like, I've met some of my siblings. Like, Facebook came out, people started stalking everybody. You started meeting people you didn't ever want to meet, right? You're like, I don't know if we're related. Nuh-uh. Right? But I met some of them. But anyway, the story goes like this. My mother and father that raised me, that adopted me, that I would like to call my mom and dad because they put all the energy and effort into raising me. That's the only parents I know. They actually wanted to adopt a little girl. Now, I would have been an ugly girl. Come on, let's just be honest. But they wanted to adopt a little girl. And so the mother was getting ready to have her baby, and she decided to change her mind. And it crushed my mom's heart because she was all ready for this little girl, and she's going to do her hair and, you know, the mom's dream of having a little girl. And so that didn't work out for my mom. She was crushed. And so she went on a business trip to Dallas. She told my dad, though, before she left, I don't want to talk about adopting another child. I give up. It's like she just gave up on her dream of having a child. She's like, I don't want to talk about it. Well, my dad found out because they have a friend that lives in Arkansas. Her name is Judy. And Judy called my dad and said, there's a little boy that's in this small podunk town of Arkansas that this mother had driven from Pennsylvania down here to get rid of 4 children at the same time. And the little boy is left there, and you guys can have him today. So my dad called my mom, who was on the business trip in Dallas, and said, Ann, you need to get home right now. There's a little boy in Arkansas. We can go pick him up right now. My mom, you know, of course, she had told him, I don't want to talk about it. But, of course, that changed her mind real quick. She drove home from Dallas to Shreveport, Louisiana. They got in a car, went up to Arkansas, and probably got lost a little bit because there's all kinds of weird roads in Arkansas. And so found me, took me home. I was 13 months old. My diaper had reached its maximum capacity of what it could hold. My belly, I was malnutrition. Now I had a big old belly. Now it's from overnutrition. Okay, but you have to understand that I was just in a bad place, and my mom and dad, they adopted me. They raised me in a godly home. And so if I think about this for a minute, there was a spot that was created where God knew at this moment in time, he would create this relationship where this lady named Judy lived in Arkansas to know that a little kid from Pennsylvania that would be born from a mother who was living in a way she shouldn't, and a father who was not having the opportunity to live the life that God really had purpose, but God didn't want me to fall through the cracks. So he created a spot in Arkansas where a mother and father would raise me from Shreveport, Louisiana. They'd drive up and they'd take me, they'd adopt me, and they'd raise me so that I would have a destiny, that I would have a purpose, and I wouldn't fall through the cracks. So there was a spot that was created. Now, that's kind of an interesting thing, I promise you. That sounds like a lot of fun. Now, my mom and dad would tell you that raising me was not that easy, okay? But that spot was created. I'd like to define the spot as a divine appointment. Where one person, when you meet Jesus, and that one person's destiny is changed forever. It's that spot. It's the same spot that we saw in the story in Luke chapter 19 where Zacchaeus, he hears about Jesus because Jesus is passing through. He wants to see him. But then there's the crowd. It's always amazing how the crowd always seems to get into the way. And so Zacchaeus having issues because he couldn't see over the crowd, because we all know the little story. Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he, right? Zacchaeus probably had man issues, you know, and he was like, I know I'm short, but I'm so wealthy. I stand on my wallet. I go from 5'6 to 6'5. You know what I mean? He's trying to brag about everything that he has, but realizing he needs a spot, a place where he can actually make eye contact with Jesus. Can I say that in all the characteristics of the story of Jesus passing through and Zacchaeus doing his thing, being a chief tax collector, working up the corporate ladder to be able to be the best that he can be, and the crowd doing what the crowd does, can I say that the most interesting part of the story is the sycamore fig tree? I'd like to break that down for a few minutes this morning and basically say this, that God wants to create a spot, and he wants to use us. He wants to use Believers Church to be a sycamore fig tree so that somebody can climb up us just to get a view of Jesus. Isn't that neat that God would want to do that in us? So I was thinking to myself, how does this happen? How does this work? If God would really use us, well, how's this going to take place? Because you have a purpose in life. But we all share the same purpose of reaching out to the next person who doesn't know Christ. We all have that shared purpose in mind. Okay? So I would like to just throw a couple of things at you this morning. You can write this down. Write this first thing down. You're exactly where God wants you to be. You're exactly where God wants you to be. I think about the sycamore fig tree and the location that it was at. It was on the side of the road. And think about when the seed was planted. Was it on accident or was it on purpose? I mean, did a bird just have a seed that fell out of its mouth from he was holding a twig? Or I mean, how did that seed get planted right there? Was there a woman that strategically thought, this is going to be a perfect road one day? Let me put a tree right here and let it grow. I mean, the seed was planted. And think about this. That little seed was watered. There might have been times where it was a drought, times where it wasn't raining as much. But God made sure that seed could grow, that it would be protected. And think about the fact that seed all of a sudden turned into a weed. And if you're anything like my mom, a weed's got to go. She used to teach me all the time in her little flower bed that the only thing that grows overnight's a weed. Wouldn't you like your flowers to grow as fast as weeds? Right? So this weed starts to grow. And imagine with me that God would maybe even, let's just role play and have fun in church this morning. God would send angels to protect the weed. Like, it looks like it's insignificant. Could you imagine being an angel? You're sitting there and you're protecting, and you look down at what you're protecting. Like, I could be doing something significant, God. Do you know, could you imagine having a conversation as an angel? You probably wouldn't, because the last angel that did that ended up in hell, Lucifer. But could you imagine, and you're protecting this weed, and you're protecting it from animals, so animals don't come by and eat it, and so mothers don't come by and pull it, and so teenagers don't come by and smoke it. Weed, but you shouldn't do that. Y'all got that. Stay away. But think about this for a minute. All the protection for this one moment, for the spot to be created. In Mark chapter 16, it says, Jesus said to his followers, go everywhere in the world. You're exactly where you need to be. So God has put you exactly where he wants you to be. In the job that you have, the grocery store that you always go to, the friends that you have, the school that you attend. It's not by accident. Matter of fact, let me say it like this. We need to take our vocation and turn it into a ministry location. That God has got you exactly where he wants you to be to create the spot that someday you can reach out to the next person that just needs to climb up you for a minute just to get a view of Jesus. So it's that we see that sometimes we walk through life, and I feel like what we do is we look through binoculars, always thinking about what's ahead and the future, and we miss out on what's happening right in front of us. I'm going to tell you, I've not always been very good at this. I wish I could tell the story of how one time I was on an airplane and I was sitting next to an agnostic, and I was just sharing the love of Jesus, and they got saved. Revival broke out on the 740. No, it doesn't happen like that all the time. Matter of fact, Haley and I, we were youth pastors in a small city in Louisiana, Marksville, Louisiana, and God had just placed this kid on my heart that we were supposed to reach out to. His name was Jeremy. And I just knew I was supposed to reach out to him. Has this ever happened to you where God puts somebody on your heart and you're like, oh, okay, like the next time, God, I'm going to do it. And you know how the next time happens and you're like, oh, but God, see, what had happened was we got a church staff meeting. I can't be late. My pastor will get on to me. So I can't do ministry because I got a pastor. You know, I don't want to make my pastor mad. You know, and I just kept making excuses. I saw him one time. He was washing his car at one of those little car wash places where you do it yourself. And I just felt like I needed to go over there. But I was like, I just don't have time. I can't make it. My wife is pregnant. She wants pickles and mayonnaise to go together because when you're pregnant, you do weird things, okay? And so I gotta serve my wife. And I kept making excuses, really good reasons to just kind of avoid what I felt like God was putting on my heart to do. And so we were on a youth trip. We decided to take the kids to the skating rink because I always love to trip them when you're going around the rink. See, as a youth pastor, when a teenager makes you mad, you go on trips or you can hurt people. It was an accident. You take them paintballing. Just stuff, fun stuff. You shoot them and things like that. Well, we're going to the skating rink so I could make a few of them trip and stuff like that, and real godly. And so on the way there, one of the teenagers says out loud, and I heard him in the van, he says, it sure is sad what happened to Jeremy. I was like, Jeremy, what happened to Jeremy? Who's Jeremy who? And they told me the last name. And I was like, what happened? Now, I knew. I mean, I just saw him the other day. I knew it. And I was like, I kept getting opportunities and making excuses. It's like, yeah, well, him and his buddies, he was caught up in the wrong friends, a lot of drugs, a lot of environments he shouldn't be in. He said him and his friend decided they thought it'd be a great idea to play Russian roulette, and Jeremy lost. And, you know, that sinking feeling where you knew that God was wanting you to create a spot, but for some reason, I just didn't have the guts to do it. I was a part of the location. Like, I was there. There was going to be a spot that was going to be created. But I kept making excuses. I would love to share all the good stories, but there's some stories that, like that have inspired me to go to the next level and say, God, I will never miss out on an opportunity to be a tree so that somebody can climb up me to see you. You know, 2 Corinthians says that we're Christ's ambassadors, that God is making his appeal through us, through the church. He's making his appeal of how much he loves us. So we're right where God wants us to be. The second thing I want you to write down is we've got to be committed to our own personal growth. You know, if you're going to be a tree that people can climb up to see Jesus, you got to be committed to your own personal growth. What do I mean by that? Think about the root system of the sycamore tree. A grown man climbed up that tree. You see, here's the thing. If we are not rooted, if we don't go deep enough in our relationship with God, when somebody climbs up into our life, we might not be able to sustain holding people up to see Jesus. Imagine that moment if Zacchaeus would have climbed up the tree and it would have fell over and all the collateral damage it would have caused on the crowd. And so it's really important that sometimes what happens is we give our heart to Jesus and we get fired up and we want to tell everybody, but we can't. It's almost like a railroad track. We've got to, on one side, we've got to reach out to everybody we can, but on the other side, we've got to reach as deep as we can in our relationship with Jesus. We've got to be committed to our own personal growth. Let me say it like this. Before you can have some fruit, there's got to be a root. That's why it's important for us to be in our grow groups. That's why it's important for everybody to find a group that they can plug in and build relationships and go to the next level. That's why it's important to be a part of the growth track, to discover your spiritual gift. You know what I love about the growth track here? It's not about us having a need of something and saying, well, I need somebody to go over there. Like, look, if you don't like kids, we don't want you working with kids. They ain't going to like you either. Right? If you don't like people, you don't have to be a greeter. Matter of fact, we probably wouldn't want you to be a greeter if you didn't like people, right? Like, welcome to church. I mean, you know, like, no, we want people that like people, right? Like, if you don't like people, there's areas for you. Like, come early on Sunday morning and turn the air on. You know what I mean? Like, there's a place for everybody. But the reason why you want to discover your spiritual gift is because 87% of all believers, okay, in America, 87% do not know their spiritual gift. Now, before I tell you 87%, let me just go ahead and let you know that 99% of all statistics are not true. But let's go with 87% this morning. 87% don't know their spiritual gift. Imagine if 87% of your body didn't work. You'd be an invalid. And that's what the local church looks like today, because people don't know their spiritual gift. And the reason why we do the growth track the way that we do is so that you don't have to do something, you get to do something. Because when it's inside of you, it's the way, it's the purpose in which God created you, that now you're excited about the opportunity to show up and serve, because it's what you were created to do, not what you have to do. It's what we get to do. And the attitude is totally different because we are staying committed to our own personal, our own spiritual growth in word, in worship. And our dream team in the party that I'm going to tell you right now is exciting to me. The first dream team party. And it's on like Donkey Kong tonight. We're going to have a blast. Jesus says in John 15 that he says, I'm the vine and you're the branches. And if you remain in me and I in you, then you'll bear much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing. Nothing's going to happen outside of Jesus. But if you will stay consistent in your own personal growth, you will be ready for people to climb on up into your life just to see Jesus. Number three, write this one down. We're talking about how to do this, how to be the tree. Number three is be relational with those around you. Be relational with those around you. See, people don't really care how much you know until they know how much you care. And connecting with people is not, we got to connect with them before we correct them. It's like my dad taught me, is like, you kind of like just worry about letting God, you know, don't try to clean the fish before you catch it. Let's just enjoy the process of getting to know people and sharing your story. Like, I think that this is a good idea. Ask them questions when you connect with people. Hey, what's your story? What's going on in your life? Tell me about your whatever it is that you're trying to connect to. Tell me about class, or tell me about your job, or tell me about your kids, or tell me about your marriage. Where did you guys meet? And you hear their story, so then it invites you into the opportunity to share your story. And listen, here's the deal. They might not believe in the word, but they cannot deny your personal story, because you can't deny theirs. So then you begin to share what God has done in your life as you build a relationship with them, and it creates trust. Think about the sycamore fig tree. Just role play with me for a minute. It's on the side of the road and it's growing. Zacchaeus is growing at the same time as this tree. So Zacchaeus as a kid probably saw that tree grow from different stages. He probably at some points climbed on that tree when he was a kid. There were probably moments when he was 10 and 15 that he probably had some fun climbing on there. So, because he knew that when he needed to see Jesus, he could go back to what he trusted most in that relationship that he had developed. Think about the fact that that tree probably offered some shade at times when it was really hot outside. Or maybe that tree, it was even something that Zacchaeus was able to take some of the fruit and eat it as a snack. Here's the thing. When we build relationships with people, we might not see where it's headed. But let me tell you something. Something will happen in their life one day. And if they can trust you, they will come running back to you just to climb up you to see Jesus, because they know that you have the answer. It might not be the funnest thing. I promise you, teenagers, let me look at you real quick and tell you this. You're walking in the halls of your schools and you're living for Jesus, and there are other students that don't know why you're doing what you're doing or making the decisions that you're making. But one day, years from now, they will come back and remember the way you live for Jesus, and they will come back to you at a point where they're facing tragedy, where they're hurting inside, and they will trust you because they knew that you lived it before they ever knew they needed to climb up you to see Jesus. That's what will happen. Sorry for coughing, I'm all excited. But you have to understand it. When we build relationships with Jesus and we grow in our relationship with Jesus, and then we build relationships with other people, they trust us. There's no way that Zacchaeus would have climbed up that tree if he'd have known that that branch could have broke. I wouldn't. I wanted to trust it. And let me give you the fourth thing real quick in closing. If our worship team could come up, I want you guys to get behind me. Make me sound really good this morning. About to go T.D. Jakes in here. Get ready. While they're coming up here, I want to tell you a story about Maggie, our daughter. She's going into sixth grade, and there was this little girl in her music class, and they were asked, write down your favorite genre of music. Who do you like? And Maggie wrote down Christian music, and that was a lot of fun. It was kind of precious, except the problem with that was a little girl next to her was atheist, and she said, I don't like Christian music. That's dumb. And Maggie's like, okay, well, what kind of Christian music? No, she wasn't like, well, you stupid. You know, she didn't crack back. She just said, well, what kind of music do you like? And they talked about it. And then Maggie said, well, you know what? It's okay for us to like different types of music. And, you know, just tried to befriend her. And then Maggie came home that night and we were talking. And Maggie said, Mom, Dad, I'm going to reach Mariah for Jesus this year. Sixth grader. Okay. She's like, I'm going to get her saved. She needs Jesus. So get this. She said, this is what I'm going to do. Tomorrow, I'm just going to invite her to come sit at my lunch table with me. I don't think she gets to sit anywhere by friends at lunch. I'm going to invite her to my table. I'm going to tell you, she started doing that. She'd come home and she'd be like, she sat with me at lunch, Dad. We're high-fiving and she's all excited. She's like, she sat with me. And like, here's the deal. Get this. I think sometimes we want people to get saved because we're like, man, their life's so messed up. They just need to get Jesus, right? It's like they get Jesus, they just come on. But we forget to celebrate the moments where we just sat together at lunch, Dad. Like, that was awesome. And then get this. So then we find out a few days later, that it's like, Dad, you'll never believe this. Mariah lives two houses down from us. We didn't know. She lives two houses. So now they're playing in the neighborhood together. They didn't even know they live that close. So like, not only are we sitting together at lunch, but we're neighbors, Dad. We're neighbors. Go, girl. Then all of a sudden it comes time for the grow group on Wednesday night. On the way to school, Maggie's like, Mom, Dad, I'm going to invite her to my grow group. I'm scared. I'm going to invite her. This girl doesn't go to church anywhere. I'm going to invite her. Comes home from school. She said she wants to come, Dad. She said, boom, we're high-fiving. She's been to 3 grow groups now. Has she given her heart to Jesus? I would probably say not yet. Because I have a feeling Maggie would come home all excited, right? But she's working it. She's working it, building a relationship. Letting Mariah know, you can trust me, Mariah, I'll be your friend. Do you know that not only is that cool, but Maggie lost a friend in the process because that friend didn't want Mariah sitting at the table? And Maggie said, well, I'll just go ahead and go to my own table. Maggie lost a friend because she needed to build relationships with somebody that needed Jesus. I want to encourage you to build relationships. Ask yourself, who is out there that I need to invest in, buy lunch for, or coffee for, or just spend some time with? And number 4, write this down. It will be difficult, but it will make a difference. It will be difficult, but it will make a difference. Paul said in 1 Corinthians that I have become all things. This cracked me up when I read this. I've become all things to all people so that by all possible means. I see this all 3 times. And then it just kind of hits you in the gut. That I might save some. You know, that scripture would make me feel better. It feels like I become all things to all people so that by all possible means I might be able to save all. Right? Like, I want all. If I'm giving all. But can I tell you something? You've got to give your all. Sometimes you wish that everybody would receive your all, but it's only going to be some. And that's why it's difficult. But you will make a difference. That's why it's not easy. When you're giving out of yourself and you're loving on those family members and you're being that tree. Let me show you what it looks like. You got that aunt. We've all got that aunt, right? That crazy aunt. Or you've got that sibling, or you've got that son or that daughter, or you've got that friend, and you're letting them climb up you. You're trying to be Jesus. You're trying to be the tree so they can see Jesus. And you know what it is when you look at him and you're like, do you see him yet? You're holding your friend up. Do you see him yet? And your friend's like, nah, I don't see him. And your friend's like, this is dumb. I don't see him. And your friend wants to get, I'm going to keep holding you up until you see Jesus. Do you see him yet? And all of a sudden you see the face of your friend or the face of your family member, the face of your husband when he's looking and he says, and he locks eyes with Jesus and everything changes. It was difficult. How many times did you have to hear the same story over and over of how it wasn't fair and life didn't work out for them and they got fired for the wrong reasons and everybody quit on them, but you're still holding them up. And they see Jesus and it changes everything. Everything. Because you held him up and you were that tree. And can I encourage you, Believers Church, we've got to be the tree in this city. Not to just play church, but be the church. Jesus knows all about the trees when he climbed on the cross for you and me. That we would be like that so that somebody could climb up us. Not climb up a religion, but climb up to get a relationship. I was in Best Buy the other day. I'm closing with this story. I was in Best Buy and I saw this father and son. The little boy had to be not 4 or 5 years old. And he was looking at these video games and the father kept walking. And the little boy just got sidetracked. He was like, oh, look, video game, you know, like any kid would do. And then I saw that, I just saw it developing because I was sitting in a place where I could see the rows. And the father was looking at the flat screens in the back. And the little boy, he looks up and he realizes that his dad's not there anymore. Now, I don't know how many of you ever got left in Walmart or some kind of Piggly Wiggly or something. It scares you. You know that feeling? You just, all of a sudden you're like, or if you're like me, I thought the rapture happened. Like, call mama. If mama answers, I'm okay. And that's happening when mama's in the back and she don't answer. And I'm like, oh my God. You know, you start singing that song in your head, which we'd all been ready. And you were like, you're just scared. This little boy, you see his face start to change. And he went from being all excited and, oh, look, it's the new video game, you know. And I watch his tears start to fall down his face where he is scared to death. And I can still see the father. He's like, well, how much can I get on this? You know, and he's all into this. And this little boy, he doesn't know what to do. He's just stuck and he doesn't know what next step to take. And all he knows how to do is just say, Dad. You know, Best Buy is loud and they're playing all these different songs and things. Dad, you know how it's getting louder and Dad, he's crying out. And I see the father, and the father, he hears his son's voice and he turns and starts to look, and I look at the little boy, I'm like, hey, come here, right there. The little boy starts to run the aisle and he looks down and he locks eyes with his father and he runs and they embrace. Father's looking this way at me as he's holding his son, and he lips these words to me, thank you. Listen, there are people in this city that are crying out for the Father, and they're crying out in so many different ways that they might not even know the right way to do it, and they're stuck. And this church is being a tree to say, come here, let's create a spot so that you can see Jesus. And I believe that God this morning is saying, thank you. Thank you, Believers Church. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I believe that's what, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Hey, God said, thank you. For being that tree so that somebody can just get a view of me. Can you bow your head and close your eyes with me for a minute? If you're in here this morning and you'd say, Justin, that sounds really good. That message sounds really good. But what you're realizing is this morning, this is your spot. People have showed up this morning. They've made the coffee. They've turned on the air. They practiced the worship. They've cleaned the sanctuary. They've created this place. This is a spot for you today. into this church, and today you have realized that you are the character of Zacchaeus. You've realized that by all standards of society, you've got it going on. But the truth is, the crowd is getting in your way, and you're ready to see Jesus. If that's you this morning, and you would say, I just need to climb up. I need to climb up a minute to get a view of Jesus, because I need to be in relationship with him. If that's you this morning, every eye closed, every head bowed, would you just raise your hand? Just raise it so I can see it. I just want to pray with you. Come on, who is it? Thank you. And the second thing we're going to do, thank you guys for raising your hands. The second thing is this. If you're in here and this message has stirred your heart, because you realize that you need to be the tree for somebody, and you know who that somebody is, would you raise your hand for that somebody this morning? Come on, I want to pray for you. Raise your hand for that person, for that grandchild, or that mother, for that sister, or that brother, or that neighbor, or that coworker. Father, thank you this morning for those that raise their hands and say, God, I want to start brand new with you. And your word says that if we believe in our heart and confess that you are Lord, that you'll come into our lives and give us a brand new start. And I believe that's happening this morning, right now. But I also pray for those people that haven't even walked into the doors of this church yet. I pray for those people who are represented by the hands that were raised this morning to say, I know that person. And God, I pray you would help Believers Church, you'd help the people in Believers Church to be a tree so that somebody could climb up them to see Jesus. Give them the right opportunities. God, help them to build the right kind of relationship. Help them to not look past the opportunity, but seize the opportunity. And God, we thank you in advance for those lives that are going to be changed. We thank you in advance, God, that mothers and fathers are going to get saved in this city. That children are going to come back to you, Lord. That literally this city would be changed because of Believers Church and the influence that it has, because it's willing to be the tree that the community can climb up to see you, Jesus. And we honor you, Lord, and we thank you, because we believe that the best is yet to come. In Jesus' name. And everyone said amen. I want you to do me a favor real quick. It's something that Haley and I did at our church when we planted in College Station, Texas. Is we would, every time that there was a guest that would show up, you know, on a Sunday morning, we'd say, hey, and let's just put our hands together for the guest. And we would clap, you know, for them. And matter of fact, we taught them how to be mindful of the guests so much that it seemed like they clapped louder for the guests than they did for Jesus. It was kind of funny. And we met in a movie theater and had three services, and it was a lot of fun. We reached a lot of people. But I want to end this service kind of in a unique way. And I'm going to turn this back over to you. But I want to end this service in a unique way. I'm going to give you, in a second, I'm going to give you the chance to clap for the guest, but they're not here yet. I want to give you a chance to step into a realm of faith for a minute, to know that some of these seats that are empty by you will be filled by the people that are going to climb up into your life to see Jesus. And I'm going to give you a chance to clap, even though they're not here yet, to believe that next Sunday they will be, or the Sunday after that they will be, and that God will use each and every one of us to fulfill our purpose, our general purpose together, of reaching one more person, or helping that person take one step. So can we do that? Can you just clap for all the people that haven't even showed up yet, but that are on their way? Come on, give your very best for them.